Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to the Luminary Podcast. I am your host, Annie Perry, professional psychic, seer, channel, coach, speaker, podcaster, interdimensional being of light, human most importantly, especially these days. I feel like there's nothing more important to me than being human and really identifying as human and being inside of the experience, in the visceral 3D experience. It has been a very interesting beginning to 2024. A lot has changed. There has been so many changes, so many updates. First, I want to say welcome to all of the new listeners. I've been looking at the downloads. I have no idea where you guys have come from, but hello, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. I hope that you'll share this episode and any of the other 120 plus episodes with a friend, someone who also might want to just, you know, get a little unhinged, get a little spiritual, get a little 5D with a lot of the 3D curse words thrown in there as well. In fact, I think it might be one of my soul missions. I think I'm just uncovering this now, that maybe one of my soul missions is like, keep it real. Keep it real. Like, don't get too stuffy with the spirituality. And that's been on my mind a lot lately, is how exhausting it can be when you're trying to only be 5D all the time and you're trying to only be like the most spiritual person in the room and like ascend as fast as you can, and no thanks. It's the human experience is so unique, and I finally am at the point where I really, really see it, and I see the way that we see it when we're choosing to come here, when we're like, I want to go there, because some very interesting things are happening there that do not happen anywhere else in this galaxy. And trust me, I've looked. And I think unhinged is definitely like a suitable word. In fact, when I go back into the life between lives, I'm gonna add that to the descriptions of Earth for the other souls who are interested in coming here. Like, it's a little unhinged, but in all of the best ways. And we do get to have a lot of fun here as long as you're not taking it too seriously. I mean, you are, after all, a being of light, an eternal being of light, pretending to be a human. It's kind of ironic. It's kind of funny. It's kind of a little cosmic joke. It's the universal mind winking at you. So what have I been up to as we have started this beautiful new year? We are entering into the midway point between this ascension acceleration cycle 2020 to 2027. And it's a part of many different ascension cycles that our planet will go through, but this is probably the most pivotal one where you and I find ourselves in the deep work, in either the alchemization, in either the healing work, or in the actual creation aspect. And if you are in the alchemy and the healing between 2020 and 2027, I truly believe that you'll spend the rest of your life in the creation work, meaning just creating like whatever the hell you want to create, big, beautiful creations. And I don't mean work, I mean just pure creation, your life literally as creation. Every experience, every step, every breath, a new creation, all of those experiences that you desire to have when you came here, all of those dreams that you have in your heart. I truly, truly believe that we go through the alchemy and the healing first, and then we enter into that pure state of creation, and often the two overlap as well. So 2024 feels like a very special year, it feels very significant. I obviously have no idea how it's truly going to turn out for everyone, but it does feel very special and it does feel very significant. So what have I been up to? We had a baby. We had a baby. I haven't talked about the baby yet. We had a baby. He is my sister's baby, but thank you to all of you guys who were a little confused. He is not my child, but I do love to hold him and make him smile, and he's let me do a bunch of energy work on him already, and check out his chakras and that development in infants, which is very unique. It's a process I've never had the privilege of being able to watch, but their energy centers slowly open one by one. And I thought that it would start with the root chakra. It doesn't actually. On infants, it starts with the solar plexus, and they're literally funneling pure life force energy from their mother. And that energy then gets distributed to the lower two chakras, which he's developing now, and then eventually it'll open up those upper centers as well. So it's just been, it's been beautiful. I mean, it's gorgeous. I get to hold him and snuggle him and tell him how cute he is and read his energy. And of course, I get to tap into his soul and have conversations with the adult version of him. And he's told me, we've been talking since before he was born. And he told me what he was coming here to do, what his soul intention was, the impact he wanted to have on the world. And he's an Aquarius. And so a lot of his soul mission is really new age, new earth healing and medicine, and advancing medicine to bridge the gap of meeting energy, right? And understanding that energy plays a huge role in the body's health and wellness. So he's a new earth healer, a new earth doctor is what I keep calling him. And I think that he'll make a lot of breakthroughs in medicine and technology, which is no surprise. Like, my sister is a nurse. She's worked in the medical field for a long time. She's always wanted to be a nurse, and she's always wanted to have that healer energy. And she's a very nurturing person. Like, she just slid right into the role of being mom so effortlessly. I'm sure she probably doesn't see it that way, but I see it energetically that way. And my brother-in-law has been a designer and has worked in tech for a long time. So it's just, his life path just makes so much sense. So it's been a really cool experience becoming Auntie Annie. And he was born a little bit early in January. January, February, and March are a great time for experimentation, for experimenting about what and who and how you want to be for the next year. There isn't really a cut and dry beginning of the year. If there was, I would say that it's definitely Aries season. That's when we feel the energy start to really ramp up, especially here in the Northern Hemisphere, because it starts to follow the seasons. And so we get to have a lot of that fire energy right when the sun starts to come back in full force. But what I teach my students and those who took Activate Vision 2024 is you want to plant the seeds for the year in Capricorn season. You want to plan out your goals. You want to plan out like your vision during Capricorn season, because Capricorn is the boss of the zodiac. They are the one who will like get shit done. And so if you plant those seeds during Capricorn season, then they will start to grow. And by the time you reach the next cardinal sign, which is Aries, you're going to have some significant process, some significant energy already built up behind that. So that's what I do. And this year I wrote out tons of goals. I actually do really, really well with goal setting. I know a lot of people kind of shy away from it and it kind of has like a bad rap, but I love goals. Like, if you give me a list of goals, I will accomplish them. I will see them to fruition. And I think the reason is, of course, I'm a Capricorn sun, so it's built into me to be that way. But also, I'm not attached. I can do something and say, like, it was good, it was bad, and I don't have to take it personally. I'm not attached to the outcome, and so I can achieve and reach goals and build things and then decide that they're not for me and not make it mean anything about myself. So some of the things I've been doing this year is really focusing on the body, really, really focusing on especially food. That was something that my guides told me right away in December. They were like, a lot of the foods that you may have been able to tolerate or handle or eat before, they are going to feel so dense and uncomfortable for you because of how high the light quota is in 2024, how much we are going to be lifted in frequency, and the rising of the frequency happens through light. Most of that light is coming from the sun. Some of it is coming from star families, different groups of ascended masters, different consciousnesses that have agreed to send higher light to this planet. And I've talked about that quite a bit. You know, we are supported by so many different groups and so many different entities that have nothing but love for us and that want to serve and support us in any capacity that we will allow through higher light, through a higher frequency. And that's one of the great gifts that these different light entities can give to us is higher light. Is in higher light is anything above love frequency. So we can go through love frequency in the fifth dimension, but we can also go all the way up to 12th dimensional bliss, ecstatic bliss, pure nirvana, those type of feelings that we associate with a really high frequency. So different groups will specialize in 5D, 6D, 7D, 8D. I work a lot with 8D beings, 9D, 10D, 11, and 12. If you are a healer, someone who feels called to the world and realm of healing, whether that's energy healing or medicinal healing, you probably work with a group of spirit guides and ascended masters who specialize in 10, 11, and 12D frequencies. Those are the healing wholeness frequencies. So as our light quota continues to rise on the planet, the whole point of it hitting this planet and hitting the earth and hitting your body and, you know, making you tired and giving you headaches and all the ascension symptoms, which I will talk about more in just a moment. But the whole point of that happening is so that the light enters your body and you begin to activate the crystalline light body, which is the fourth density body, which is the body that we have to be inhabiting on this planet if you want to be able to exist inside of this planet in at least 100 to 200 years. Right now, you're in a carbon body, what they call a chemical body, and the chemical body will soon no longer be able to walk this earth. It's already expired, but it's like, you know how some things, like, you can keep it going a little bit past its expiration date? That's basically what's happening with the current carbon body that we're living in right now. So food plays a huge role because that's your light force. That is your nourishment. That is how you are continuing to operate this vehicle. It is the fuel inside of the vehicle. And if you've ever put the wrong fuel inside of your vehicle, you know that that's a really bad thing. It will not operate. It will not run. It will sit there like a lump on a log, and you're going to be really unhappy because you're not going to be able to do the things that you want to do. And I'm not necessarily talking about weight here. I am talking specifically about light quota, the light quota inside of your body. We can increase the light quotas inside of our body, and we can retain and integrate more light if we are eating living foods. Living food, like food that is still alive, food that is freshly picked, food that is still green, food that has not been frozen, because freezing it does kill all of the light force inside of it. So foods that are still alive. And for me, that's been green juice every single day. I started at the end of January. I've given out the recipe quite a few times on my Instagram. If you want to know what it is, I will post it again on my Instagram stories. Just reach out to me and I'll post it for everyone. You can just screenshot it because I do get a lot of DMs. But I've been making it a few times a week and I make a huge jug of it and I drink it every single day. And I feel the light quota being able to integrate into my cells. I definitely feel that just categorizing it as eat healthy versus eat unhealthy is a little too simplistic, and there is a lot of room for that to be misinterpreted. So I like to stick with the interpretation and the definition of eat living foods. The living foods are going to allow you to actually integrate the light into your cells and ease a lot of the ascension symptoms, you're also going to be going through your ascension and your initiation and your light body activation much faster, because there is less friction and there is less density in the way of the light that's trying to make its way inside of your cells and your DNA. The other decision I made in January was that this year I was going to really commit to my cooking skills. God. It's no secret that I don't like to cook, okay? It's no secret. I've said it on the podcast. I've said it in multiple classes. Like, I will tell anyone who will listen to me, I don't like to cook. I'm learning how to be friends with it, because what I want to do this year, and what I've actually already started doing in February, is I am returning to being vegan. And I'm also gluten-free. So the reason I stopped being vegan was because I found out I had celiac and I had to become gluten-free. And it really kind of set everything off balance for 3-4 years. And now I finally feel ready to go back to being vegan. I've always been allergic to dairy. That's nothing new. So it's really just been for me deciding not to eat meat anymore, and meat is just very dense. So for where I'm at in my ascension, and I'm not actually, you know, I'm not telling you that you need to do any of this, like do what's right for you, use your sovereignty, use your discernment. But for me, what is feeling right for me is that the meat is too dense. It's too dense and I'm not able to integrate enough light while I'm eating meat regularly. So I gave myself like 6 months, and I was like, by June, I want to be fully back to being vegan and gluten-free, but I just have to learn a new way to eat. And it's not something that you can just go out to any restaurant and order that way. I mean, most restaurants don't even have that kind of option. So I knew that it was really hinging on me deciding to learn how to cook and how to eat that way and be able to sustain that. And something that I learned about myself in that process was that the main reason I wasn't doing it is because I kept telling myself it's going to be really hard. And I'm sure a lot of you guys thought that when it came out of my mouth, that that's what I was attempting to do. You're like, how are you going to, like, what are you, isn't it going to be really hard? And that was my main thought about it. That was like the main barrier. And I realized that it felt hard, and it was hard because I believed that it was hard and I kept telling myself it was hard. Once I stopped doing that, it actually became so easy. And I gave myself like 6 months. I was like, okay, from January to June, like, we're going to make this transition. And the moment I stopped telling myself that it was going to be hard, it just happened so effortlessly. All of a sudden, I was like, wait, I've been eating this way for like a week already. Like, let's just keep going. It became effortless because I stopped believing that it was hard, and I stopped telling myself that it was going to be so hard. So again, I'm not telling you that you need to do this or that this is in any way that your food reflects your level of spirituality. This is what I'm doing to release density from my body. There's other things you can do. Maybe you like go hard on a carnivore diet, but then like you work out so much that you release so much density from your body and you feel great and you feel like you're initiating and integrating your light quota effortlessly that way. I think that that's going to be a path for some people. So for me, I'm just reflecting on my path that I've chosen. It feels good so far. I've also been doing a lot of walking, trying to walk about, I don't know, 12, 15 miles a week. For some people, that's a lot. For others, that's like, you know, cake. But I've just had some of the most spectacular downloads and revelations taking these long walks outside every day. And I go to this beautiful park near my house. So I'm in nature. There's not very many people around. And my mind just gets to open and receive downloads. And I listen to masterclasses and courses that I'm in with my mentors. And so I'm really just focused on that nourishing of the body, releasing as much density as possible, initiating and integrating as much light quota as I can. Let's see, what else have I been doing? Reading. Yeah, tons and tons of reading. I think I read 8.5 books in January. And I think in February I've read 3 so far. Reading keeps my mind sharp. It's definitely an Arcturian thing. You know, the Arcturians oversee the Akashic Records, so it's no surprise that that's something I love to do and spend my time doing, and I love to go into other worlds, and I love to think about, you know, is this a real world that someone channeled that could be out there? Is it a blend of other worlds? And I find that it's often a blend. It's a blend of things that have happened here on Earth and things that have happened in other worlds. I mean, you can never give an Arcturian mind too many things to think about. Like, we'll chew on all of it. We're just big brainiacs, and we love libraries and spending our time around books and knowledge and learning. And if you ever meet someone who's like that, it's like a 90% chance that they have a lot of Arcturian DNA or are on an Arcturian mission like myself. All right, what's last here on my little list of updates? Teaching Money, going through the rebrand. If you haven't noticed, the entire website and my social media has all been rebranded. It's very cool. I fucking love it. It's all gold and neon green and gold. You know, like, part of 2024 is the golden age. And that was one of the messages I received back in December when I was channeling about, you know, what we were going to see and experience this year and what we're going to feel this year. And the theme of the golden age came through. I'm going to talk about it a little bit more once we get into it, but I decided that that was going to be part of my rebrand, that I was going to have a lot of gold. And then the neon green is like the intensity of the heart chakra, right? That's our green center, our green heart chakra. And so it's like the intensity of it. It's not just fucking green, it's neon green. Like, it's this bright light. And I love how neon catches your eye, and it just, you're like a moth to the flame. And that's my intention, is that whatever I'm creating and producing inside of Wellspring Official and inside of Luminary and inside of my social media, that it's that, that you're like that moth to the flame, and the flame is literal light, and that it's coming from higher light, and it's coming from that expansive heart center. Electric. Electric heart center. I love that so much. So we did the rebranding in all of January. More to come on that, and some new offers that are coming through. If you haven't checked out my activations, I just launched a new one this week. I think that I have crystalline heart activations, which are incredible. If you want to sob your heart out and you want to feel your heart chakra expand and take over your entire body, crystalline heart center activations are phenomenal. I also have golden age. That is for money and wealth. And then I just launched comprehensive light body activations. Very intense. 22 strand DNA, the whole crystalline heart center, Kundalini energy, the 9 crystalline energy centers. I mean, it's in your cells, it's your DNA, it expands out into your aura, it's merging the higher mind with the lower mind, higher self with the lower self, ascension column work. It's everything. I mean, it was just such a powerhouse. So you can order those activations on wellspringofficial.com, and they get sent to you personally by me. It's just phenomenal. They're just so great. Some of them are 44 minutes. Most of the newer ones are 60 minutes, because we all know that, like, I can talk for a really long time. No, I'm kidding. That's the direction that I get when I download these from my higher levels. And so there is an exact sequence that you are walked through in all of these activations. They're also filled with light language, messages, galactic family, ascended masters, different beings can come through and give you messages. And it's an activation. I mean, it's an activation. It's just an infusion of pure light to awaken the dormant aspects of yourself, your true self. As far as teaching, I just got done teaching New Dawn, which is rewiring your relationship with money. This was such an emotional and personal course. I was not expecting that at all. And it's all about your relationship with money, but all of us were crying because we were all thinking about all of our other relationships. And like, you just get to have the most beautiful relationships when you truly understand yourself and you develop your emotional intelligence and some really, really just soul stirring activations and downloads came through that course. So that's called New Dawn, and you can get that on my website as well. I also taught New Year, New Money, which is my standalone money masterclass. And that is also kind of a little bit about your relationship with money, but it's filled with transmissions and downloads to get you really activated, feeling good about money. Money is not evil. It is not the devil. And currency isn't going anywhere on this planet. We are here to transmute the currency from the negative energy that it used to have into a positive energy. And I see that as my personal mission, like the one you can find straight at the center of my heart chakra. It's so personal for me. I want to see more money in the hands of light leaders. Imagine what you could do if you had more money. Imagine what you would create. Imagine that you wouldn't sit on your hands to create that next podcast, to create that business, to be that healer, to spread your message, to write that book, to help the earth, to help the animals. You wouldn't be sitting on your hands about it if the money was there. I know that because I can read energy, and I know that the number one block for most starseeds and light leaders is that it's a money issue. I don't know how to get out of my 9-to-5 so that I can actually do the stuff that I want to do. So I see it as my personal mission, and a lot of my work this year is going to be centered completely around the alchemization of money, and I'm here to support you with that. It's something that I've gone through every single money experience to be able to have the authority and the confidence to teach about this topic. And so I am, as always, honored to do it and delighted, actually delighted. I'm so glad that my negative experiences created a positive and that I'm now able to teach people how to get out of any kind of money situation, but really to change and to alchemize your feelings around money. It starts with you. All of this starts with you. The whole ascension starts with you. It starts with you. It starts with the core and the center of who you are. And it starts with the feelings and the emotions, but also the actions and the identity and who you believe yourself to be. And you're able to change that, and you're able to shift that into more and more authentic levels to get deeper and deeper into the truth of who you are. The truth of who you are is not some bland jelly bean. The truth of who you are is this magnificent, unique star being who has so much incredible power and the ability to create anything on this planet and have a positive impact for the highest and greatest good of all. And that includes you and everyone in your field. All right, last of these updates before we get into the Aquarian energy, the Aquarian golden age that we've stepped into. I see no other marker more obvious that we are in an ascension and that this planet is changing than the fact that Taylor Swift is the most powerful woman on this planet. And I am 100% here for it. I mean, I eat this shit up. I love it. And I love her because I see her as like this beacon, right? That we no longer need someone who's in a bad mood all the time. We no longer need someone who has to, you know, dress all outlandish. And, you know, I'm thinking of like those early 2000s pop stars that had to, you know, they really had to work for it to be famous, to be seen. And it's such an obvious marker that we're in an ascension, that the energy of this planet has changed by how many people love this beautiful little vanilla bean who's always got a smile on her face, who is kind, who just wants to have a good time. Like that, you think your job is to come to this planet and save the planet. It's not. Your job, and if you want to save this planet, is really to come here and like have a good time, to lift the frequency of the planet. And her work and her creations bring so much joy to so many people. It doesn't have that really dark, heavy, dense, negative energy that we were really seeped in from the 80s into the early 2000s. It's very vanilla. It's very middle of the road. It's very light, actually. Even her stuff that's supposed to be darker, it's just not. It's not that dark. It's very light. And that's how you can tell the frequency of this planet is changing, by how many people are open and receptive to that kind of energy. Now, I know there are dads, brads, and chads out there. And what's really funny, actually, is I thought my dad was going to be one of those dads, brads, and chads. Surprisingly, the only two, like, cordial, interesting conversations me and him have had is he asked me if I knew who Travis Kelce's girlfriend was. And I said, do you know who Taylor Swift's boyfriend is? And so we actually had a conversation about that that was, like, cordial, and we actually had a shared interest for the first time in our lives. I don't know if you guys saw that Super Bowl commercial that was the exact same thing. It was like a teenage girl who didn't want to hang out with her dad and didn't care about football, but then she actually watched it because he got her, like, a T-Swift jersey. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm not the only one that, like, had a moment with my dad where we actually had a shared interest for the first time ever. I actually talked about something that wasn't just, hi, how are you? I mean, my dad knows I'm an alien. He just doesn't know what to make of that. He doesn't know how to feel about that. He doesn't know what to think about that. So he just chooses to ignore it completely. So I love that we have something to talk about. And we all watched the Super Bowl together. I was the only millennial. It was Gen Z's and then my boomer parents. And I was the only one who knew all of Usher's lyrics. So it was a little, it was like mortifying and embarrassing, but I also felt proud of myself strangely at the same time. And in awe how memory works. Like, why do I still know all of these lyrics? Why do I not memorize everything I need to remember as a song first? But we had a good time, and I was screaming at the TV in the overtime. Screaming at the TV for them to just, you know, manifest it. And I actually learned a lot about manifestation just from watching the Super Bowl. I haven't watched a Super Bowl since 2015. I don't really care about football. I was there to support my girl, Mother, Her Majesty, Miss Taylor Swift, as I like to call her. And so I'm watching it, and we're going into overtime. And this team, the Chiefs, they played with zero confidence. I'm like, you guys have to come in so confident that you're going to win again. And I see this all the time when I'm teaching manifestation. Someone has a manifestation, a big one, come through, and then it's time for the next thing, and they buckle. And they're like, I don't know if I can have that. I don't know if I can ask for more. I don't know if I can have more. Like, am I allowed to have this? Am I allowed to have more? And am I allowed to have something that's big and something that is flashy and something that is going to be seen by a lot of people? Is this okay? And so what we can do with our manifestations when you're going up for the next big one is that you can buckle and you collapse the energy, collapse the whole thing. That's what that team was doing when they showed up. They were not sure if they were allowed to have a second win, if they were allowed to be great, if they were allowed to be known for their greatness. And so they played really shitty, honestly. And I was reading the energy and I was like, oh, they're just fumbling this because they don't think that they're allowed to have it. Whereas the other team was like showing up so rock hard and just like going full throttle, full tilt the whole time because they thought that they were going to be, you know, really in a fight, really in a skirmish. And the other team's all nervous that they're not allowed to have greatness. And the other one's like, we came here to fight for our lives. And so they got really far and they were doing well. But the issue of the other team was that they truly did not believe that they were going to win. They thought that they had to go, you know, they had to go down shooting, as we would say here in the United States. You've got to go down shooting, you know, you've got to have all your guns out. You've got to go down in a blaze of glory. But they believed that they were going to go down. They didn't really believe that they were going to win because they were the underdog. And I was screaming at the TV, like, you have to have confidence. You have to believe that you are going to win. You have to have the game won already in your mind before you even step onto that field. Like, this is manifestation. This is it. This is like the basis of it. this is exactly what the Lyrans taught me. They call it stick the landing. You have to focus on the fact that you've already stuck the landing, that what you want has already been created. You're focused on the end goal. You're not focused on the in-between. You're focused on the end goal, that it's already done. That's what creates the manifestation. So my family got a whole earful about manifestation that they didn't sign up for. And something I was telling them was the reason why Tom Brady won so many Super Bowls and is known as like one of the greatest NFL players ever is not because he was the greatest NFL player ever athletically. You know, he was great because Tony Robbins was his mentor. Tony Robbins was his coach, and Tony Robbins taught him how to manifest. He taught him how to have the game won in your mind before you ever step out there. That's why he was able to be on a winning team so many times, and he just kept winning and kept winning. Like, it was illogical how much he would win. And it was not all talent. It was not all physicality. It's that he believed he was going to win before he even stepped out onto the field. He had already done the visualizations 100 times. And then once you win the first time, winning the second time is easier because you've already had the visceral experience. So it's not imagined in your mind. You've already have something to go back and relive and re-experience. And you can do that with anything that you want to manifest. So how did the Chiefs win then if they didn't have any confidence and didn't believe that they were going to win? I honestly, truly believe that it's because Travis Kelce was out there fighting for his life. He knows that, like, his girlfriend brought 100 million extra viewers than they were going to have for that game. She brought an international audience to an American skirmish, right? She brought so many people to watch that just because she was going to be there. And so he had all of that pressure and all of that energy connection already inside of his field. I mean, that man was out there fighting for his life. He was like, I cannot lose in front of my girlfriend's 100 million friends and fans that showed up literally to watch me in this game just by association. So in manifestation, especially when you're operating in a team, and you can take this into your workplace as well, it doesn't really matter if you're the one that gets the ball across the line. It doesn't matter if you're the one that scores the point. It matters if it's won in your mind. It matters if you believe that it's yours. It matters if you believe that you're going to have the experience afterwards. And based on how, like, by the skin of their teeth, they won, I truly believe that, like, him and maybe a few others on his team truly, like, believed that they were going to win again, and that was the only thing that tipped the scales at the last possible moment with 3 seconds on the clock. I mean, that was a nail biter, and it was interesting, and I'm glad that the one time I chose to watch football was interesting. Like, thank you for at least being that for me. But my family got a lesson on manifestation, and I had a lot of reflections on that, on, you know, how else can I teach people this, and how can I teach the NFL? Because they need manifestation coaches more than they just need their, you know, strategy coach. All right, those are all the updates that I wanted to share with you that you didn't ask for, but it's my show, so too bad. Aquarius season. Yes, so we're in the Aquarian age already. I'm one of the people that believe it started in 2020. 2023 is another year that's on the map. Some people say it's imagined, that we're not in it, but I've talked to my spirit guides and they say that an age, and we are entering in the Aquarian age, is what they say. Okay, if you want to believe them, you can believe them. If you don't, you don't. I honestly don't care. I'm just going to share what they tell me. But they told me that we are in the Aquarian age and that it takes an amount of time for that age to turn over. So for the age to shift out of the previous one into the new one. And so we are shifting into the Aquarian age, and that shift really locked in 2023. And that shift started 2017. and it was about 50% turned over in 2020. So for me, I felt the Aquarian Age come online in 2020. I felt that we had so many shifts that year. It was the most obvious mile marker that we were no longer living in the old world. However, this year we have a lot of Aquarian energy really starting to infuse itself into the 3D matrix and our everyday lived experience. So we're not only in the Aquarian Age, and the ages last for like thousands of years. So we're gonna, like, it's not over in a few years. It's sticking around. You're gonna live and die in the Aquarian Age. Congratulations. But we also have Pluto moving into Aquarius for the next 20 years, and that will be solidified after next November. But Pluto is in Aquarius right now. We're already seeing the movement there that's happening. And one of the obvious events was that TikTok went through some sort of issue where a bunch of music artists pulled their music off of TikTok. That's a sign of Pluto in Aquarius, because Aquarius is an air sign, so it is going to rule anything that has to do with the airways, that has to do with how you are receiving information, that's going to have to do with technology, that has to do with advancement and with growth. And Pluto's going to like pummel a lot of the things that were born in a low frequency. I don't think I'm telling you anything you don't know, that a lot of social media is created in a low frequency. And it's not that the company itself has to completely go under and be flatlined in order for the energy to be recreated into something new. They can have their own alchemy happen within. I don't know what's going to happen to them. I do think that some of them, especially the ones created with scarcity, are going to experience the brunt of Pluto in Aquarius. Probably won't exist in 20 years from now. We will probably have many other things, hopefully things that are much more wholesome, that are much more loving, that are created in an energy of equality and love and peace. But that also doesn't mean that there isn't going to be technology. I see this a lot in the spiritual world and spiritual community of like, I just want to go back to ye olden days. And I don't see any forecasts in the future where the whole planet just goes back to ye olden days. Most civilizations that transition into fourth density actually start to create extremely advanced technology. They start to have interplanetary travel. They start to populate and terraform other planets. And so I don't see technology just being wiped off the face of the earth. I do see a future where there are a lot less humans on this planet in particular, and where the beings on this planet are very dedicated to the purpose of Gaia, which was for it to be a garden, for it to hold codes, and those codes to be taken by different groups and different species and used to plant and seed other planets, so that you would have animal life forms and plant life forms. And those are like the starting points for a new planet. We have to keep those codes somewhere. There isn't like a magic being that walks around and wherever they step, you know, life just grows magically from the ground. At some point or another, extraterrestrial beings came to this planet and they brought all of the different codes with them, and they planted the vegetation that would then grow and thrive and evolve on its own on this planet. But everything on this planet that you see vegetation-wise came from somewhere else, and it was designed by intelligent beings, by intelligent extraterrestrials and interdimensionals. So as Pluto continues in Aquarius, we're going to see a lot of changes around technology, a lot of changes, I think, in the music industry, a lot of changes when it comes to public speaking, when it comes to communications, telecommunications, anything that has to do with communicating or the airwaves or technology. This is where you're going to see Pluto in Aquarius at work. Now let's bring it back to 2024. The Aquarius new moon I asked you at the top of the episode, are you okay? Because I was absolutely not okay. That was one of the most intense lunar cycles that I have ever experienced. And my guides were just delighted. They were like, yay! Oh, it's so great. It only gets more intense from here on out. And I'm laying on the floor, spread eagle, like, feel like someone had been drilling into my heart chakra and my brain at the same time. And it lasted for days. So let's talk about what's going on and what you can expect in 2024 to feel from your ascension symptoms. The first thing is, from 2020 to 2023, we were experiencing one, maybe two, maybe three chakra activations at a time. Most of the energy during those 3 years was focused on the lower three centers, root, sacral, solar plexus. We had a lot of those activations. Occasionally we would feel some third eye, occasionally we would feel some, you know, crown or throat chakra. Surprisingly, most people were not feeling heart chakra activations, which I found very unusual, but my guide said, like, that's coming next, like, don't worry about it. Yeah, we're very casual over here. So 1 to 3 chakra activations at a time. During the Aquarian new moon that just happened 5 days ago, we experienced our first ever 5 chakra activation. So these activations, again, they are coming primarily through the sun. The sun is a conduit of light and it is an amplification source. So if there are entities and beings who want to send energy to this planet, all they have to do is go to the sun. However, they have to be at least 5th density or higher. So 5th, 6th, 7th density, you're most likely going to find entities who are 6th and 7th density that are actually able to operate within and on the sun in this way. And no, you are not going to see them with a telescope, at least not yet, but they're there. 4th density beings are primarily still on ships. They still have too much density for them to go near the sun and to operate from the sun in that way. So most of it's coming from the sun. Again, some of it is coming from ships, specifically the Pleiadian ships, the GFL ships. Some of it is coming from the Arcturian ships. And then we have groups of ascended masters. And so groups of ascended masters might be different species that are collaborating together. For example, Sekhmet, Ascended Master Sekhmet, is a hybrid group of Lyran and Sirian interdimensionals. And so they collaborate together and join together for certain missions. And one of those missions happens to be to serve Earth. And the way that they do that is through the identity of Ascended Master Sekhmet. And this is just a side note, but this is true of all Ascended Masters. They are group consciousnesses. Even Yeheshua was one being, but they were part of the Sananda social memory complex. That's a group of beings. So the Ascended Master groups have been incredibly supportive and critical for increasing the light quota on Earth. And of course, supporting all of us. I have done significant amounts of work and channeling from them, and hopefully that has served all of you guys as well. So it's really, really important what they do. Some of them are located on ships, some of them are located on planets, and some of them don't need either of those for them to move through the cosmos. But the 5 chakra activation, I mean, it just blew me out of the water with its intensity. So the 5 chakras that they were activating last week and that we will continue to feel an activation all the way into Aries season and at varying levels throughout the rest of this year are the heart center, the throat center, the mouth of God, which I'll describe in a moment, third eye, and the crown center. The mouth of God is located at the base of your skull. It is an energy center that has laid dormant until now. And it is not a part of the old template, which was the 7 main chakras. It's a part of the new template, which is the 9 chakra system. You might hear them occasionally called by myself and others the 9 crystalline centers. Now, activating the mouth of God is very important in order for Kundalini energy to move out of the base of your spine and for it to actually make its way all the way to the crown center that completes the light body activation. The mouth of God is in the direct path that the Kundalini energy has to take. And so one of the ways that your carbon body has been able to maintain a non-Kundalini activated state is that they not only put the Kundalini energy in the base of the spine, which is as far away from the crown, it's like a bomb, right? So you've got the stick of dynamite and then you have the wick. And the wick itself would be the spinal column, and then you have the dynamite, and so that energy is going to travel from the base of the spine up the ascension column through the 33 solar discs, which are the discs inside of your spine. It's going to travel through the mouth of God and then up into the crown center, where you will activate and open the 1000 petal lotus. And yes, that is an energetic device at the top of your skull, inside of the actual skull, and through the crown center. And the crown center is what connects you to all of your higher levels. You're not actually inside and cut off from your higher levels. You are a branch of your oversoul that is projecting into the body and projecting into this experience. You are always connected to your oversoul, to all of your higher levels, to all past parallel and future parallel lifetimes through the crown center. However, what many people miss about the light body activation is that the Kundalini is only one aspect of it. So many people have activated their Kundalini and had transcendental experiences and blown open their heart center and been able to live a heart-based life while they are still inside of a carbon body. The other aspects of activating the light body are, of course, graduating from 12-strand DNA to 22-strand DNA. And that would be crystalline DNA, activating the crystalline meridians, so moving out of the meridians that are inside of the carbon body, the ones that we use for EFT tapping, that you use for acupuncture, that are a part of traditional Chinese medicine. Those energy meridians will eventually fade away and they'll become dormant and no longer of use, and you will continue activating and using crystalline meridians. Crystalline meridians move organically over the body. They are no longer confined to a single path. The same way that Gaia is now on a crystalline grid instead of the old ley lines. The old ley lines are still there. They're just primarily dormant. They are conduiting extremely low amounts of energy. That's why all of the old sacred sites don't have the same energy signature that they did when they were being used as batteries, essentially, and as a place for people to have transcendental experiences, to communicate with extraterrestrials and interdimensionals, and of course, to travel the universe using their third eye while still inhabiting a carbon body. I think the sacred sites will continue to feel sacred because of how much energy we put towards them as far as reverence and love and adoration and appreciation, but they are not conduiting the same level of energy. Rather, Gaia is on a new crystalline grid and has been since summer of 2022. And I think I talked about that in one of my old Ascension updates. The Pleiadians were the primary architects of it. It was a great learning process for them. It was essentially, you know, if you can imagine having a thesis at the end of, you know, graduating, and imagine that you're a Pleiadian and you want to graduate to the next level. So your task is to create a crystalline grid for a planet that is graduating out of third density into fourth density. And that was really their experience, creating the crystalline grid and installing it on the planet. It was beautiful that summer to have so much Pleiadian energy on the planet as they were finishing the installation. And in every possible way, I'm just so happy for them to see others learning about themselves through such a high level experience that also affects me and the work that I'm doing here on this planet and affects you and the work that you're doing here on this planet. Like, we're all on our own soul missions and yet we're all interconnected. So I really loved seeing that. And you're going to have that experience inside of your own body. You're going to move into crystalline meridians. You will also have a crystalline aura. The crystalline aura looks a lot different than the traditional aura. The traditional aura tends to be very harsh in its color definitions, whereas a crystalline aura tends to look much more pastel in color, and the colors themselves are much more fluid and infused with each other. There's also significantly more light inside of the aura, and it radiates. So if you've ever met someone that you're like, you're just so radiant, you know, like you just radiate light and life and love and whatever, that is someone who has a lot of light inside of their aura. And we can conduit light in our aura through simple meditations, asking our higher levels. The angelics love to work on the auric field. And often when I was doing readings, I would see people who they had someone on this planet or in the other or in, on the other side that would be sending them light and protection, and they would have that in their auric field. And it would give off an additional layer and level of radiance. Now, even if you can't see it, it's something that is felt. And everything in our reality is felt first, and it is seen second. All right, that summarizes some of the basic elements of the crystalline light body, or the light body as we call it for short. And I think it's important to understand what goes into the light body, because I see the misconception that activating the Kundalini energy alone is the light body activation. It's a very important part of it, and it's an important part that should be done with utmost care and an understanding of the light body, an understanding of frequency first, because if your frequency is not lifted, then you have the potential for a lot of negative experiences, psychosis, mental illnesses to come out of activating your Kundalini energy while your frequency is in a low state. But we are advancing because we have moved out of, you know, 1, 2, 3 chakra simultaneous activation into 5 chakra simultaneous activation across the globe. That was the experience that you had during the Aquarian new moon. Let's talk about ascension symptoms, because they were really off the charts during that new moon. And honestly, for most of February, they've been really, really intense. They've only eased up about a day or two before I'm recording this. So the primary symptom is mental pressure, the headaches. You guys were asking me about the headaches. I also had quite a few different headaches. And we call them mental pressure in the energy activation world, because one of the primary ways that you're receiving this light into your body is through the crown center from your higher levels. So you have all of these energies and entities around the planet that are blasting the planet, but you also have your higher levels that are like, all right, this egg needs to hatch. So we gotta warm it up. And your higher levels will send down tremendous amounts of light and energy in through the crown center. Now, we already live in an overstimulated world where our mind is constantly stretched, it is constantly at capacity, it's operating far and above what it was designed to do inside of a carbon body. The brain itself will go through its own alchemy and transformation and will begin operating from crystalline neural pathways. But that is a process that takes time for it to actually come to fruition. The more that you're activating the light body and the crystalline DNA inside of yourself, the more that those crystalline neural pathways are able to come online and help the brain with the mental load, the mental pressure of existing inside of a highly advanced society. Yes, we are an advanced society. Our brain was designed for ye olden days, trotting around on a horse, okay, doing, you know, the same thing every single day, not jumping onto all of these different devices and technology and social media and connecting with people all over the world. It wasn't designed for that. So it does need upgrades in order to handle the mental pressure and the mental load. And that creates really the perfect storm inside of the headspace. You have the third eye in there that is getting blasted with light, that is starting to open, psychic gifts starting to come back online. This is, of course, a necessity. It has to happen. And you have all of that energy entering in through the crown center, being funneled down into the spinal column. If your mouth of God is not open, then of course you are not conducting the energy in as efficiently as possible. A lot of it is passing through the tissue and then re-merging inside of the spinal column, traveling up and down the columns and into the different energy centers. But last week, we had this activation for the first time ever of the mouth of God, the base of your skull being opened and activated, and the light really starting to chip away at some of the calcification around that area and energy center. So there was a lot of pressure at the back of your head and, you know, the mental pressure, of course. People reported to me feeling not just headaches and migraines, but also a lot of eye pain and eye strain. My recommendations are very simple. Number one, limit how much blue light, of course, and how much you're on your devices. Limit how much information you are taking in. You might even just have to full stop and tell your body, we're not receiving any more information for the rest of the day. You can make these commands to your body and to your energy centers. And I see this overlooked a lot, but it's part of sovereignty and reclaiming your power. That's also a process that you're going to go through in this ascension. And that's why in a lot of my guided meditations and guided activations, I'm like, you need to command the energy center. You need to command your body, and it will listen to you. It wants to listen to you. You're in charge of it. It's been operating on, you know, cruise control for the last, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. It's time to come off of cruise control. It's time to actually start directing the energy, start directing your body. The other thing that you can do is ask your spirit guides for pain relief. And this is something I do regularly. I ask them, like, please relieve the mental pressure. There's a lot that they can do, but they won't do it if you don't ask them to because of the law of free will. So you can ask your spirit team. You want to limit your exposure to screens and information. Sleeping, taking a nap, letting your mind rest. It really is going to need so much rest in the coming years. Like, just get used to taking naps. Trust me on this one. And then lastly, red light therapy. This has really been very, very helpful for me, and especially because we like to have something tangible to do so that we can feel like we're in control and feel like we're taking an action step. Red light therapy, I turn on my red light about an hour or two before I want to go to bed, and it really starts to increase your melatonin, turn off your brain, turn down all of the energy. When your body is in a sleep state, it processes energy so much easier. I think I've said this on the podcast or at least in classes before, but if you ever feel like you're being put to sleep, you feel like your body is just powering down, like you're just so tired suddenly, you feel like you just have to lay your head down for a few minutes, you are literally being put to sleep because there's energy that's trying to make its way through that can't in your awakened state. That may have been that you have too many blocks, that it's going to cause too much pain. And so when you're knocked out, it's a lot easier for that energy operation to happen. I haven't seen that as much lately, although I will say that I was very, very fatigued during that five chakra energy activation and those days leading up to the Aquarian new moon. I was significantly more tired, but I didn't feel like I was being actively put to sleep. That could just be because I am regularly working and upgrading my energy in my body to be able to facilitate the amount of light that we're receiving. So if you are feeling yourself put to sleep, just know that that is what's happening. And if it's an inconvenient time, which it is for most people, and it typically happens at the height of the sun, wherever the sun is at its height for that day, that's typically when you'll find yourself being put into that sleep state. So if it's inconvenient for you, you can just tell your higher levels, like, hey, there is an activation that's trying to come through. This is not a good time for it. Can you please pause it until this time later today? but then be prepared that it's actually going to come through at that time later that day. All right, so aside from headaches, mental pressure, pain in the back of the head, neck and shoulders as well, tends to get very tight during a Mouth of God activation, so you can expect more of that this year. Obviously, regularly massaging, asking your team for pain relief and for support. For me personally, the symptoms that I felt was the actual activation inside of the energy center. For example, in my heart center, I felt like there was pain and activity radiating from the spinal column through the center of the chest. It was kind of a drilling sensation. My guide said that there was an expansion happening, and there was a lot of, you know, buzzing and some heart palpitations, but the palpitations didn't feel like they were coming from my physical heart. It felt like they were coming from the center of my chest. So there was a lot of physical buzzing and humming and palpitating, radiating out from my chest. There was pressure. I couldn't really lie on my side because it felt like it was putting pressure on the center of my chest. And again, these were not, you know, physical symptoms that concerned me, but you should definitely like go to the doctor, or go to the hospital if you feel concerned. Even if you are suspecting that it's energetic, if you are not practiced at reading energy, it could actually be something physical. So this is not medical advice. This is just my experiences and what I do about it. I also regularly felt pressure on my third eye. However, it was lower. It was not at the center of my forehead. It was actually right between my eyes. And that, again, is an expansion of the third eye. And so it is starting to open even more. What you may start to see is the elemental world. As we continue to receive this higher light, the veil is being shredded, disintegrated. It's being disintegrated. It's an act of love. It sounds violent and aggressive, but it's an act of love. It's being disintegrated off of your brain. And so you will actually be able to see the elemental world. The elemental world is part of the natural world, but you can't see it because you are inside of a 3D matrix that is operated through the veil. That's your little controller for the video game, but the controller is going bye-bye, and it's becoming a very visceral, real experience. You're going to be able to start seeing the elemental world with your physical eyes, and of course, your psychic gifts are going to be coming back online. I'm going to be teaching you guys how to handle that in a different episode. There is a lot that can be done and a lot that I want to teach you just to keep you safe and protected and in a higher frequency as your psychic gifts start to come back online. It's going to happen across the globe. There's no stopping it. It's inevitable. And so there is some things that I can teach you guys to keep you safe and protected and in a high frequency and having a positive experience with your psychic gifts, as opposed to some of the negative mental anguish and, you know, mental illnesses that can occur when your gifts are open and you're in a very low frequency. So keep an eye out for that episode. All right, non-physical symptoms tended to be 2020 hindsight, having a lot of thoughts and feelings and dreams about things that happened in the past that you have not thought about at all, that have been totally off your radar, people from the past that you haven't thought about for years, all of a sudden showing up in your dreams, wanting to make peace, wanting to reconnect with you, maybe having something that they needed to say to you. And all of this is just old clearing, and you can tell that we're really at the very edges of our subconscious mind because some of this stuff is so random. I'm like, I haven't thought about that person or that thing or that event for years and years. Like, does it even matter? And really, it's just your mind seeing it on its way out. That's it. It's being cleared out and your mind is just seeing it and saying like, hey, what's that going out the door? You don't have to overanalyze. You don't have to go down rabbit holes. You don't have to do a bunch of healing work unless you feel called to do it. You can just say thank you and goodbye as it's on its way out the door. The other thing was something that I've kind of phrased into like everything changing in a single day. So having experiences in your life where you just go to work and you're like, nope, I can no longer work here. I have to put in my 2-week notice. This is not going to work for me. I cannot do this anymore. Maybe going to your favorite grocery store and you're like, you know what? Actually, this is a shithole and I'm never coming back here and I'm not going to do it anymore. Maybe going to a restaurant that you used to love or that you just used to go to all the time. Something that was, you know, on that cruise control, subconscious mind, an old habit. And you show up there and you're like, I cannot do this anymore. I'm not coming back here. I'm not doing this again. Like this is an old timeline and I've grown out of it. And it doesn't have to be negative. It can be like, it is a positive. It is for the highest good, but we struggle with letting any little thing go. Like, God forbid we let anything go. I swear humans are they're such hoarders of everything. Like the past, like they just hoard it all like a dragon. And it's like, you can't even go back there. Like, why are you hoarding all of that? Let it go. Let a new experience in. Let a new relationship in. Let a new business idea in. Like, you can change, you can grow. And I've seen some people who maybe had a career or business trajectory, and it's like in one day they were like, I've actually changed to something new. There's something else that I fell in love with that I want to do, and that's where I'm going. And I just showed up today to the old thing that I used to do, and I'm not feeling it, and I don't think that this is where I'm going to go with my life. And so you just instant one day trajectory change. Everything shifting in a single day. It's terrifying and it's also delightful at the same time. And that could be the way that you summarize the entire ascension process. Like, it was terrifying and delightful at the same time. Like, I loved it and I was also really scared and afraid and kind of hated it and didn't know what was going on. That's okay. Everyone on the planet feels that way. Like, don't worry about it. I feel that way a lot of days. All right, I want to jump into the Q&A. I posted a Q&A box on my Instagram. I'm going to answer some of the questions. All right, so this question is from Janice, and she asked, what can we expect from or how can we use these upgrades in personal life, growth, and direction? This is the million-dollar question. Thank you for being so thoughtful and asking such a helpful question. So I think that it needs a very simple answer because I could way overcomplicate the answer and I could probably answer this question for the rest of my life. The simple answer is that all of these upgrades, all of these activations, everything that's happening on this planet and the reason that you're here during such a time as this is for you to remember that you are a creator being and for you to create. Now, the hope of your spirit team and the beings who sent you here is that you will create with higher light, meaning that your creations will have a positive impact on yourself and the people around you. Positive energy, positive intentions, that it will be for the highest good of all, as opposed to the detriment of yourself and others around you. And while they don't judge you, they do have hopes and intentions for you, right? They're not going to judge you. And sometimes we can't even like hold that concept in our mind that there could be beings out there that do not judge us, but they, at their level of energy and frequency, judgment doesn't exist, but a lot of higher light does. And so their hope is that you will create whatever it is that your heart desires, whatever you can imagine, whatever you want, and that it will have a positive impact on you and on others. Usually humans take creation way too literally, and they think that I'm talking about art class, that you need to go, you know, get a bucket of clay and start making some art projects. When I say create, I mean everything in your lived experience from the moment you open your eyes to the moment you close your eyes. All of it is a creation. But most people live on autopilot, and that is the old world. So the reason we're going through this transformative process and this ascension is that you are reawakened and what they would call resurrected back to your fifth dimensional self, and that you create, and you will spend the next thousands, even billions of years creating. you will go on and you will evolve your soul to create species. You will create light ships. You will create technology beyond your wildest dreams. Yes, many of that sounds very physical, but most of it will be done energetically, and a lot of it will be done simply through your will and your intention, no physicality involved. But during this lifetime, it could be anything. It could be experiences. It could be a family. It could be a job. It could be a business. It could be those things that we think of, but it could also just be being happy, creating a life where you are happy every single day. That has a very positive impact on yourself and on others. But I'll also add this. The reason that most humans go straight to physical creation and like making something with their hands or thinking about their job or thinking about their career is because we are the wild ones and we came here for very visceral experiences. And that's why we get so attached to things like job and career and like, what am I doing with my life? We get really attached to it because we came here for such a visceral experience. So I would say that as you stand at the leading edge of creation on Earth, which is where we are creating things that have never existed in this galaxy before. Like, there are not iPhones and Ferraris on other planets. There just aren't. We're creating things that have never existed before. So as you stand at the leading edge of creation on this planet and you straddle the third dimension while also ushering in the fifth dimension, which gives you a lot of your creative powers back to you, I believe that most humans will end up creating something that is both fifth dimensional, meaning that it has the highest good of all as the intention and frequency, and it impacts positively others and yourself, but that it's of third dimensional use. That it's either a physical or it's an experience that we have in the physical. All right, the next question is, why are the symptoms felt more by some than others? Is it divine energy balance? Yes, and there is a very beautiful, delicate pattern system that is at play on our planet when it comes to ascension. If everything were to happen to everyone at once, the planet would go into like free fall, chaos, you know, it would be all of those end of the world movies that we've grown up watching. And that's what would happen if everything happened to everyone at once. So you guys are a part of the group that I am a part of. And that's how you found me. There is a resonance inside of our group, and you could call it a wave. So we are a part of the same wave. And so we are very close as far as our ascension trajectory. And the ascension and the symptoms that roll out through the field and the varying degrees to which the inhabitants of the planet are experiencing the light quota and the frequency upgrades has to do with what wave they are a part of. The wave that you are a part of is a direct correlation to the level of consciousness that you are at in this now moment. So if you were to think of these different waves as levels of consciousness and returned awareness to the truth of who you are, we would be a part of the same wave. So instead of us needing a tsunami that causes destruction and chaos and fear on the planet, we have all of these waves that come through. And yes, the waves are getting more intense, but there are others who are far more ascended in their consciousness than us. Many of my mentors are at a level that I'm like, wow, I don't even know if I'll reach that in this lifetime. And yet they are, you know, having this positive impact on the planet. And also what I am doing is having a positive impact on this planet during the ascension. So every level of awareness is necessary for the ascension to happen in a more harmonious way. And that is very, very important to the GFL, to the other beings that are assisting this planet in its ascension. And that's really why they're here, is to assist, to support, so that it goes as smooth as it can be while you're also going through a cataclysmic change. And I think they've done a really great job of evening everything out and of also supporting all of us. They have eased as many of the ascension symptoms as possible. If you can believe it, they've taken the edge off of what could have been very paralyzing symptoms. And so they have really distilled and, you know, in a sense, almost watered down some of the energy so that they're meeting us a little bit more where we're at, but also still challenging us to catch up to where we are supposed to be. That's why we're here, light workers, star seeds. Like, we are the ones who were called to assist on the ground during this ascension. So we are holding more light and we are holding a higher frequency in order to pave the way for those who were stuck in karmic cycles on this planet for a really long time and weren't able to get to a higher frequency. Instead of them climbing, you know, the raw side of a cliff, we've created this much more smooth path up the hill. And that's our job. That's what we came here to do. But at the same time, it goes back to the first question that I answered, which is we are also here to stand at the leading edge of creation and to create. You are a multidimensional being. You are not here for one soul mission. You are not here for one purpose. And it really breaks my heart every time I hear someone come into my world and they're like, I just want to know what my purpose is. And it's like, your purpose is so multidimensional. It's so multifaceted. In many ways, you're already living it, but what you're longing for is deeper fulfillment in other areas where you could be living it, where you could be creating your life. And in truth, I think that when most humans are seeking their purpose, what they're really longing for is to be able to experience a higher frequency. Joy, peace, just as you are. Fulfillment as you are. Without changing everything in your life, just as you are. Longing to do that inside of a world that we were born into and that we grew up in that told us we needed to hold this lower frequency and that we needed to suffer and that we needed to suffer in order to deserve good things. And that is what we are unlearning, that was an untruth, that was not going to be our truth, that we could just embrace joy, peace, love, fulfillment, happiness at any moment throughout any day, despite the circumstances that are going on in your life. You can just let go of the old frequency. You can let go of it. It's a choice to hold on to it. And it is a choice to embrace a new frequency without feeling like you need to earn it or you need to deserve it. There is nothing to earn or to deserve in this universe. You are already everything. It comes down to choice. It comes down to the choices that you are making with your energy and with your frequency every single day. I think another way to answer the same question, you know, why everyone is experiencing the ascension differently and at different levels of consciousness, is that you wouldn't put a toddler into a college class and you wouldn't expect a toddler to understand college level information. And this is one of the beautiful analogies that have been used for Earth many times is, you know, Earth school, that it is like a school. And this is true, but at a school, you have all different levels. Not everyone is in the same class. And even within the level that you're in, there are separate classes for each subject. So that's another way to think of it, that you wouldn't expect a toddler to know college level and vice versa. You wouldn't expect, you know, a 10-year-old to be able to understand what a 15 or 16-year-old is learning. So there has to be variation in order to meet people where they are at in their level of consciousness, but also challenge them to rise to the next level. All right, I want to wrap up with some of the themes that I downloaded for 2024. The first is that during this first kind of quarter of the year, what we are going to be experiencing is more of this five chakra activation. And it is going to be at first a clearing. So you're going to have a lot of those, you know, dreams about the past, thinking about the past, old things being cleared out. Then we enter into the second phase that I believe is going to start right around Aries and eclipse season of this year. And that's going to be when we're moving into acceptance, love. We're starting to experience some of the higher frequencies within these five upper centers. By the end of the year, when we get into fall and winter, at least for us here in the Northern Hemisphere, you're going to be experiencing bliss states in the upper centers. Bliss frequency, we felt this with a few of our energy centers towards the end of last year, a lot of bliss consciousness coming through in the October eclipse season. And so we are on much the same cycle. However, the stakes have increased and we are now experiencing the five upper centers in that activation. So it's an opportunity to experience everything much more deeply. Love, acceptance, and then going into some of the really high dimensions and bliss frequency, bliss, ecstasy, ecstatic bliss, however you want to phrase it. So going into really high frequencies with these upper centers. We are also going to be experiencing more of the psychic gifts coming online. This is a really big year for psychic gifts. I have read for a couple of people where it was actually really funny. Their spirit team was like, you need to stop seeing psychics and you need to work on your psychic gifts yourself because they're coming online whether you like it or not. And the confusion that you're feeling is that they're coming online, but you don't know how to use them. And so you feel like you know some answers and you feel like you're getting some downloads, but you don't know how to operate, you know, the car. So instead of having someone else drive you all the time, you need to learn how to drive the car. And I love when they say that kind of stuff because they know that I'm in support of it. I've been telling you guys since the beginning, please put me out of business. I actually don't even see clients anymore for psychic readings, but I teach psychic channeling, which is how to use your psychic gifts because it's so much more important than you going to psychics and getting all these readings. You need to start learning how to use your gifts yourself because they're coming back online. And again, seeing energy, seeing the elemental world, you're going to start seeing things with your physical eyes anyway, and you're going to be like, what the fuck was that? It's probably energy, it's probably an elemental, it's probably something in the fourth dimension that previously you weren't able to see. We're going to be seeing a lot of it, especially come summer, winter, and fall of this year for the Northern Hemisphere. Lastly, I do also believe that this is going to be a big year for disclosure. I think we're going to have a lot more UFO sightings. I think they're going to become very commonplace. I think we're going to have more contact experiences. Of course, I'm always hoping for a big contact experience that goes really well, but the interdimensionals and extraterrestrials are much more dialed into the temperature and the level of acceptance that humanity would have if that were to occur. But I do think we're going to be hearing about that much more. Again, disclosure happens in layers and in levels. And the moment that you choose to accept it, choose to believe it, like you've been disclosed, that's it. You're good. You're already on board. So we are waiting for that to happen for about at least 1% of the population before we have any more really big contact experiences. They've been popping up everywhere. I see them all the time. I see, you know, people have a lot of cell phone footage. Our cameras are getting a lot better at picking them up, which is good. So the more that we see the evidence of it with our eyes, the more in the acceptance we're going to be of it. And really, it comes back to frequency again. And if we are going to be in a frequency that can actually interact with higher dimensional beings because they're in a high frequency, you know, and so we can't be in a super low frequency and expect to have a really visceral experiences with them. But I do think you're going to be seeing a lot more around disclosure, especially around the eclipse season that's coming up in April. That has been already kind of downloaded for us, communicated with us that there's going to be a lot of activity during that time, and it's inevitable. It's just like your psychic gifts coming online. It's inevitable because the more that the veil thins, the less that they can hide from us. So, you know, we've gotta pull back the curtain and see the Wizard of Oz and realize that it was us the whole time. Last of the last is just this message from higher levels, GFL, spirit teams, galactic families. Focus on frequency. Focus on your frequency. Frequency first. Focus. If there is nothing else that you take away from this, is that your frequency is the most important thing. Your frequency is your resting vibration and the resting vibration of your field. Your field is everything that your awareness touches. So when I get online, my field significantly expands across the globe. When I stay away from any kind of technology, my field significantly shrinks. So you have this expansive field. We all do because we're so connected with people all over the planet. Everything that your awareness touches, that becomes your field. Your frequency is the resting vibration. It's not a mood ring. It's not, I had a bad day, so my frequency is all off. It's your resting vibration. Your resting vibration is like the temperature that you reside at over a given period of time. So you can have your bad days. You can have your really good days. It's not a mood ring. Frequency is that resting vibration. It's almost indiscernible to most people. But as you continue to explore yourself and develop an awareness about the truth of who you are, gaining an increased awareness about you, your field, not just thoughts and feelings that run through, but the totality of you, and discern where your resting frequency is. Ideally, a resting frequency of acceptance would be like phenomenal. Like if we could just get 1% of the planet to a resting frequency of acceptance, this whole planet would change. So just getting to acceptance, and part of acceptance is accepting yourself, accepting others around you as they are without needing to change them, without needing to judge them, but also being honest about who they actually are. I think checking out the Hawkins scale of vibration is very, very helpful for those who are doing frequency work and want to elevate the frequency, the resting vibration of their field. That's going to be a really key tool for you to have, and you can just download it from the internet. Back in December, when I was channeling about what was in store for 2024, I was told that the theme of this year, what you could call it, was enter the golden age. So we are entering into a golden Aquarian age that has never been experienced on this planet before. We're going to create things that have never existed in this galaxy, probably in this universe before. And our purpose is that we are created to create. That's really all that matters. You didn't come here to save anyone. You didn't come here to be a martyr. You came here to create. That's what being in the golden age is all about. And I will continue to support you in every single way possible, especially with money and wealth, alchemizing that so that you can do and create the things that you truly desire to do. Money is important because it touches everything in our life. And of course, I'll continue supporting you energetically, psychic and galactic education. So much more to come in this beautiful golden age. There's nowhere else that I would want to be in this galaxy, in this universe, than right here on planet Earth with you. Beautiful beings of divine light, you already know that I will see you on the next one.